What's up, everybody? Welcome into episode 19. Looked it up. We're already at 19, Sean, of the Sean Salisbury Show
Rolling,
here
brother.
on the Believe Network. Yes, we are. We'll get to our great sponsor here in just a second, but we got plenty to talk about, including a game last night that was kind of weird. Kind of a game where you thought maybe Pittsburgh could, sneak in there and get a win, and then the late touchdown screwed a bunch of bettors over on FanDuel specifically because they had a certain parlay set up if you wanted to bet it
Right.
and it would have hit. And it's just some craziness. But we got a fun group of NFL games this weekend. We got some fun college games this weekend as we get into some of the interesting parts of the schedule. And then a story we were just kind of talking about before we started here of a coach getting screwed over by his own people inside the building there at the football facility, and that's a college coach. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. But before we do that,
Before you go there, Segs, though, but just the thought of that, doesn't it give you a sick stomach just thinking about how Arizona State went about their business? I mean, if this is true, and I know
especially
we'll get
just
to it
for
about.
who it was and Herm Edwards, such a good
Right.
guy. Like he's done
Agreed.
everything. He's done so much for the student athletes, for he didn't have to take that job. He wanted to go there
No.
and help kids, just like Lovie Smith didn't have to take the Illinois job. He wanted to go there and
Right.
help kids with what they've done in their careers. And
Yeah,
for
it's
him to be
trash,
treated
and I
like
know we'll get
that,
to it. Yeah.
yeah, we'll get into that more. But just,
I mean, a little
yes.
bit of respect would help. There's, if you want to get move on, but not like that. So we'll
Right.
get to
Sick
it. But yeah,
feeling in your stomach
it
for
is.
sure.
I feel horrible. Yeah, for that's not the way it's supposed to happen. That ain't it. But BetOnline, though, Segs,
Yes.
is it? BetOnline is it? BetOnline and BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contest events and the first to market odds and lines, which is important. We all love that. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, obviously the NFL, NBA, National Hockey League, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, the props, and the futures. Head to BetOnline today to use your mobile device. You can do it from there, or you can join today and continue to use that mobile device to make those bets and make your first bet, which is always a fun one, and hopefully beginner's luck hits you or your skill. So use your promo code BLEAV50. That's BLEAV 50, BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And if you're betting first and it's your first time, it's a good place to do it right there, Segs. There you go.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend today, speaking on BetOnline. Get on there. Look at the odds for, I should have done it before the show. Look at the odds for first NFL coach fired. We talked about it, remember, on the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going
Yep.
to be Matt Rhule. I think it's almost, I don't want to call it a lock, but I think it's a lock that Matt Rhule is going to be the first NFL coach fired when you look at the 0-2 start after getting Baker Mayfield. So, some people thought maybe they could compete in that division, at least for a wild card, and a bad start and a tough, tough schedule coming up over the next 5 weeks that I don't know how he survives it. I
Nope.
personally thought he should have been out last offseason. I hate when coaches, they should be fired and they stick around for one more year. And it's just, if a coach is coming into the season on a hot seat, just fire him. Just fire him. Like it
Well, yeah, if it's
somewhat
warm, it's one
rarely
thing, but if
works
it's
out.
hot, right? Yeah,
And
it does. That you're going to move on, right? I mean, you
yeah.
almost get to the point. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't buy into the preseason hype of this team's a
Yeah.
playoff team. No, they're not. They're
No,
not a
not at
playoff team.
all.
They, even with Baker, they're not. They're not enough good players on that team. And with Matt Rhule, here's the deal. Matt Rhule going to be a college coach again at some point. Not sure when. I don't wish it on anybody, but it won't be a bad thing. Got a
No.
better chance to win where he goes. But one job he shouldn't take right now, judging from it, is the Arizona State job. So
Right. Yeah.
that's something we'll hit. But Matt Rhule, the truth is he's trying his hand at it. He's had NFL experience in the past as an assistant coach. This just doesn't look like a Carolina team that, and I know it's only two games in, but this is cumulative over the last couple of years. Remember, fired Joe Brady
Yep.
during the season, offensive coordinator in the past. So there's a lot of things they got to get fixed. And personnel is one of them, and probably coaching staff's going to end up being another one. If there's one to go early in the season or somewhere before the midpoint, probably there.
I just don't understand. I get it. It's the NFL. It's the top league in the world for football. But all these college coaches that try and make the jump. I mean, how many times has it worked? Pete Carroll? He had NFL experience. So it's like these guys that don't have any real NFL experience that try and make the jump to the NFL from college hardly ever works out. Because, you know, in college, you can turn a program around pretty quick if you get the right school. Like
you can recruit too.
Yeah,
yes.
Matt Rhule at Baylor is the perfect example. Terrible circumstances that he came into, and he took that program and got it right back on track to where they were, and then took the Carolina job, which is a bad job, and it doesn't work.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is that, and you mentioned under bad circumstances, and he just left the table really nice for Dave Aranda to come in and continue doing the same thing. Matt Rhule can coach. The problem is sometimes you're trying to make chicken salad out of chicken shit, not the coach, but the situation, right? Yeah. And I know, and you could turn it around in the NFL too, but that's one first rounder a year. In college, if you go the right program, you get about 18 of them, right?
Yes.
20 of them, you know, whether you're at Michigan or Southern California, you get great players if you can recruit. And now with name, image, and likeness, you can enhance that as long as you've got a good alumni behind you and wants to, and management, meaning the athletic director and the president of the university. So I see Matt Rhule at some point getting back to college. And Segs, I'm going to tell you this. You and I have talked about this for years in the past. I am telling you now, if I'm at a top 20 program, top 10 program, and I'm a coach that I would never. My ego, listen, you're getting paid the same now as the damn NFL guys do if you're a good coach. Ego is one thing, but finding yourself overmatched or trying to do, they're just different. I know one Saturday and one Sunday, but they're different. And how you got to treat the kids. And as a college coach, you're in truth, you're the dad. You're the coach, you're semi-general manager because you're hands-on all the time like you would. So for me, I know you want to try your hand at the ego. Maybe you don't like recruiting, but if you go back, it tells me you didn't mind recruiting, and Matt Rhule's going to end up in college at some point, I would think. And to me, I would never leave the job at Clemson to go coach in the NFL. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't leave Ohio State to go coach in the NFL. There's too many good – and you just keep turning over and become a legend there. So for me – I think the great college coaches are smart to stay in college, even if they change programs.
Yeah, that's definitely Lincoln Riley. Perfect example. Don't take the NFL job. Take the better job over OU, which is USC. And now you're living life, you know, with your feet up in California.
Better than you are at the better than you are on the worst team in the NFL, which you get that job because they're not going to be very good. That's why they hired you.
Exactly.
In the
first place. Yeah, you could have gone to Jacksonville, but who, you know, it's just like it just doesn't make any sense. All right, looking to last night, Browns beat the Steelers 29-17. Denzel Ward gets a late touchdown, as I mentioned earlier in the show, to extend that to a 29-17 lead. I thought Pittsburgh, this was watching that game. And I was texting back and forth with some buddies who are also Bears fans. This was Mitch Trubisky in a nutshell this entire game. Made some throws that you're like, yeah, that's a hell of a fucking throw. And then he makes some throws that you're just like, yeah, that's Mitch. That's the Mitch we remember from Chicago, where sometimes he'd make a throw that it almost felt like he just kind of threw it and it happened like that. Because then the rest of the throws he throws in, it's like he doesn't know where it's going. And that catch by George Pickens. Maybe catch of the year already. Was ridiculous.
As good as the one Beckham made.
Yeah.
Just different circumstances.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
As good as he was.
So neither team really impresses me still. Nick Chubb's a monster. But overall, the Steelers, I saw somebody tweet today. They're giving up over, I think, 140 yards rushing per game over this season and last season. Like, this is the Steelers we're talking about.
Worst rushing team in the NFL the last 2 years.
Yeah. Like,
I think it was Dan Orlovsky who put it on Twitter.
Yeah. I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah. They are. And this, listen, one thing I know, there's a lot of things that go on when you mentioned defense and the Steelers being shitty at it, but that doesn't go hand in hand. There's something not right there. So that's one. Two is Trubisky Segs. When you get to a certain part of your career, there is the aberration who makes that. He's not been in the league 8 years, but you start to see, they were like, wow. Ryan Tannehill's perfect example, but he's going back. I mean, if this doesn't get fixed, you're going back to what Ryan Tannehill you thought he was, right? Losing Arthur Smith the last couple of years, you're starting to wonder, well, what's going on here? Normally, there is the outlier. Normally, after about 4 or 5 years, I know who the guy is. I know who Jameis Winston is. I do.
Yeah.
I know who Pat Mahomes is. I know. I just do. I know who Derek Carr is. I know who Kirk Cousins is. other than a few offs. I know who they are. I knew who Cam Newton was at a certain level. Doesn't mean they're not, I'm talking about good and bad, and in between how their game's going to be, right? You'll get that one guy who comes up like, listen, perfect example, and he was a hell of a player and a dear friend of mine, but he transformed his game was Rich Gannon. Mm-hmm. Rich was with us in Minnesota. Great feet, accurate passer, could do it all. He got hurt his shoulder, went to Washington, didn't quite work out there, went backed up Elvis Gerbach in Kansas City, but played some too and was really good. John Gruden jumped all over him, and he should have. He goes on, wins the MVP, and he's an I mean, he's an incredible mind, throwing the ball on time from the pocket. Because when Rich came in, Rich was a move guy, right? Because he was a teammate of mine. And I was like, dude, this guy's got eyes in the back of his head. And then Rich goes in there, and he's accurate and leadership, all the great things. He had it, but he just needed somebody to yank it out consistently. And Rich changed his game. And that's called being smart. And that's why he's the MVP of the league and should have. And I think one of the more underrated quarterbacks. We don't talk enough about what he did that year and how he helped the Raiders. And I was so happy for him, because when he was in Kansas City, you could start to see, damn, he's changing his game. But boy, oh boy, is he good.
Right.
But that doesn't happen very often. It just doesn't. So, Segs, I'll leave it at this. Mitch Trubisky's never going to be a franchise quarterback.
Right.
It's just not happening. And both quarterbacks last night, you see what happens when one can play it safe and protected, but you got better personnel and Nick Chubb, Brissett, and he played a hell of a football game. Mm-hmm. He did what you needed to be done. Mitch Trubisky, he did it sometimes, didn't sustain it, and you're exactly right. He's the Dow Joneser where it's like, man, okay, I see why he was a second pick. And then there's I can see why he's a journeyman now on his third team in 3 years or 4 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. 4 years now, I think, is what it's been. So for me, you know, I root for the guy. But in true Segs, it's just, he's too safe and he's afraid to take chances. And in this league, if you're afraid to take chances, I don't mean afraid, shivering afraid, but if you're playing not to attack and you're protecting your position, you'll end up getting replaced. We're seeing it a lot of places in this league, and Pittsburgh happened to be one. They're going to stick with him, and Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach. We're going to find in the next 5 or 6 weeks. I don't see how with that, Mitch would be better on a great team, because he wouldn't have to do it much. Right now, their offense isn't great. Their defense isn't great right now. And he can't carry him. Mitch Trubisky's probably not long for the starting quarterback job if this keeps up.
You mentioned if he's going to be a starter in this league, the type of team he needs to be on. You mentioned the guy, Ryan Tannehill. You have a Derrick Henry type back that can rush for 1,800 yards. You're handing the ball off 65% of the time because that back or that backfield is just so damn good that you don't have to do much, but you never expected the Titans to be a Super Bowl contender, even with Derrick Henry, because when it came time to have to come back from down two touchdowns in the third, late third, you never trusted Ryan Tannehill to make those throws. And that's the same way
on
you
a
feel
consistent
about.
Basis.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Like I actually think that Trubisky would probably be pretty solid with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Get you 10 wins, right? Jonathan Taylor, similar situation, not overloaded with great perimeter people, but saw and a defense that runs around. You don't have to be a hero until you have to be a hero. And that's why you become a January quarterback, but you're not a February quarterback. And we got to buy, there's more of those than there are the February guys, as we well know. Doesn't mean he won't stay in the league 18 years, but Mitch Trubisky's never going to be the reason you win a Super Bowl or get to a Super Bowl. He's going to be a piece of the puzzle, but not the biggest one. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing watching that game last night that was very evident, that when you talk Steeler football, they always have an offensive line. That offensive line is in shambles. It's terrible. I mean, that was part of Mitch's problem last night, too. More than half the time, he was running for his life because that defensive line was just walking into the backfield because nobody was stopping him on Pittsburgh. So it's kind of weird to see Pittsburgh in this mode. We know they took Kenny Pickett. If this continues, they're going to have to go to him here in the next 3 to 4 weeks and see what they have. And if it continues bad, and we'll kind of see how they reset and kind of move forward. But things aren't looking great in Pittsburgh right now.
No, and you know what's crazy about all this, Siggs? It's just a tribute to Mike Tomlin. He's never had a losing season. It's just crazy. It's crazy. You know, all that shows you the consistency for the franchise. This may be one of those where they're going to struggle to get to 9 wins this year.
And you know what? Sometimes an organization, I don't want to say needs this, but it can help them. You know what? You get a top 12 pick, go get a blue chip type player, get a good second rounder. They drafted well, in my opinion, this past year. You know, you kind of have to start. It's the end of the Big Ben era. you just kind of need that reset year, and that could be this year. And you know, not a big deal. It's not like they're going out and firing Mike Tomlin. And if they do, they're insane. But they're arguably a top three organization when it comes to doing the right things. And
there's a no brainer, you know, there, and they're loyal.
Right.
They're loyal. And you know what? Every now and again, a little swift kick in the rear end to say we need, because when you're picking later in the draft on a regular basis, that tells you you're really good. And when you win all the time, and every now and again, take a hit on top of the head and say, wait a second. And trust me, them losing will have zero to do with how good a Mike Tomlin coach football team is.
Right.
Because I'd hire him in like 4 seconds if he was available.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's not that dumb. Pittsburgh's really smart. Mike Tomlin's job safe unless Mike wants to leave.
A lot of teams would be firing their head coach to take the shot at Mike Tomlin. Yeah. You know?
You think?
You
think? That's right.
All right, looking ahead to this Sunday, we got, in my opinion, we got two big, big games in the NFL. And then we got some decent ones. But we'll start with early on. We got Bills at Dolphins, both 2-0, both, you know, probably two of the top 5-6 teams in the NFL right at this moment through 2 weeks, the way they've played. It's going to be interesting. Buffalo's going to be down Micah Hyde, Dane Jackson, and Jordan Phillips. And now it looks like Miami may be down Teron Armstead, which is, that's the problem with signing him, the injuries. And he's always injured. Great
and always
left
good
tackle.
When he's playing.
Yeah, he's a leader. I don't know if you saw the clip of him in the last
talking
drive.
To Tua.
Talking to Tua, just tell him to slow down. So we got plenty of time. Slow down. And that's the type of guys you want on the field, especially for a young quarterback like Tua. But this is a big game. It's down in Miami. And I'm not saying winner is, you know, going to win the Super Bowl, loser's done. But in a division like this, this is a big game that you want to win to help your chances later in the season. If you're close, you maybe have that tiebreaker.
And it's a great test, Segs. Yeah. It's a great test in a lot of different ways, not only for your team. It's a great test for the offensive attack for Mike McDaniel and Tua, because he's going to get tested.
Mm-hmm.
It's a damn good defense. Injuries or not, they're damn
right.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're at home, so people are going to want to see. And this is where these are the type of games they look and say, okay, this game. Oh, now it's this team. How's he going to play on this team? And that's questions are going to be out there. You go in there and take care of this. There's another page turn. If you're Buffalo and you mentioned top six, to me, this is 1-6 right now. This is the best team in the league facing the sixth best team in the league. And if you stub your toe, the sixth best team in the league is good enough to beat Buffalo. If they both play their best, Buffalo will be 3-0. Mm-hmm. They're that good this year.
Yes.
But listen, the one thing about it is we know now you can take two or three short routes or do turn big plays. You're going to have to prevent the big play because Miami's making them right now.
Yes.
So I think this is a hell of a football game. And I don't think either team's getting boat raced. I can tell you that. I think it's going to be a pretty hard-fought game. And you know, Segs, how it used to happen to Brady at times. When you go down to Miami, for whatever reason, they always seem to be ready to play against good teams most of the time over their history. I'm not looking at numbers right now, but Brady, when he had a tough time once a year, they'd give him a few fits once in a year. And this offensive team's the best they've had in quite some time. So they can score with you. The question is going to be answered or asked every week with the Buffalo Bills is, can there be anybody that stops them? I mean, right. And to stop them may not be the right word, but keep them under 30. You know, you may be. So who knows? But big plays for Miami, and you've got to limit Josh Allen taking over a game and going all Michael Jordan on him, which is a tough task. But I give Miami a legitimate chance, and I do think they're a top six team in the league, and I do think Buffalo is the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, with Dane Jackson out at corner, with Micah Hyde out, we talked about on previous shows, Tre'Davious White's out, you know, you're going to be starting two rookies against Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I mean, that can be a recipe for disaster, especially with the way they're playing. I mean, Waddle and Hill are, I think, two of the top four wide receivers in yards receiving this season through two games.
And their third guy, so what, Wilson?
Yeah.
Wilson's the third guy, right, Segs? He ain't bad either now.
And they got Mike Gesicki,
a
tight end, who got a touchdown last week, maybe starting to fit in that offense a little more, kind of buy in to that offense. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun game. And with what Baltimore did in the first half to Miami's defense, I want to see how Miami's defense goes about their business against Josh Allen in this great offense in the first half. And if they still have the same troubles. Because
what do you think, Segs?
Because Lamar can run the ball and Josh Allen can run the ball, but it's different styles. You know, it's not like Lamar is just pure speed. Like, he gets the edge, he's gone. Josh Allen's like, I'll just bust you in the mouth and run right through you.
Right.
So two different things. If I had to pick right now, I'd probably go. It's a 5.5 point spread. Buffalo minus 5.5 on ESPN. I would probably say I'd probably take Miami in the points, but I think Buffalo wins something like 27-24, something in that range. 28-24.
I was thinking when it's at 6 points, I'm thinking if it was at 6 points, my thought process is I got a push or a Miami. I'm in that range, right? I think it's winnable for Miami. They're at home. If they play like they did last week, if Buffalo plays like, we'll be a hell of a game, Buffalo win. I do. I got Buffalo winning in a close, and this could actually be a field goal game late. It could be that type of game. I got it close, but I got Buffalo, and I still think Tua plays well, and I think Miami scores some points on this this week. I don't think this is not like 13-3 game.
Right.
There are going to be more points in this one.
Yeah, and it's going to be if Miami gets the ball late, down three or whatever it is, with those rookie corners, you know, that inexperienced defensive backs, it'll be interesting to see how Miami attacks it, and especially with what they did last week in the fourth quarter. So that'll be fun. And then the other big game is Sunday afternoon, Packers at Bucks. I mean, this is two of the better teams in the NFC. I still have big questions about Green Bay, no matter how they looked against a bad Bears team. I still want to see how these young wide receivers mesh with Aaron Rodgers. It's easy when you're, you know, burning a rookie corner on the Bears.
Right.
Or, you know, catch after catch after catch. But the big thing for the Bucs is you're going to be down Mike Evans because of the suspension. You're going to be down Chris Godwin. You're going to be down Julio Jones because they're both injured still. So you signed Cole Beasley, which, I mean, hell, if you can bring that guy in and you know, stick him in the slot. I mean, that's the perfect type of guy for Tom Brady, you know, that he'll make it easy for Tom. And then you went out and got Russell Gage this offseason. He's had good career so far in Atlanta. So I think they have the weapons to still compete in this game offensively against a good Green Bay Packer defense. This game is going to be very interesting to me.
I would agree. And listen, we know both quarterbacks are there, and both quarterbacks have gone through this year. You see the frustration at times on their face, and they are not having any problem hiding their emotions. Segs, this may very well come down to, we say all these injuries to the wide receivers. Now watch Brady go out and go 28-34, right? I mean, have one of those days. I would expect Rodgers and Brady to play good football. Now, I can't control drops and the rest of it. Maybe a little sloppier than we're used to. I actually think the difference in the game is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. I do. Dan, I don't know, you know, offensive line-wise, separation at wide receiver for Aaron, because that this the defense right now is the strength, clear-cut strength of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, it's not close. So, and on the other side, you know, Lazard playing last week, depending on how short up your offensive line is, you all got some guys that are learning on the fly. I think the difference is a turnover or two, and I think I got Tampa Bay winning the game. I don't think it's going to be one of those 37-34 game segs. I think this is a lower scoring affair, but both quarterbacks maybe happen to make a couple plays late, but I think Tampa's defense will be the difference in the game, and they come away with a win at home and sloppily take themselves to 3-0.
Yeah, I look at this game as I'm with you. It's going to be lower scoring than what we would imagine a Bucks-Packers normal game would be. You know, it's only a 1 point Buck favorite. You know, I could see a 21-20, a 21-17, 2017 type game. I think the Bucks do win. One thing to watch is how does Leonard Fournette and company run the ball against the Packers?
Agreed.
The Bears just gashed the Packers last week on the ground. And that was one of the big, you know, I think points for Matt LaFleur and the Packers coaching staff is we got to slow down the run because bad Bears team just ran it down our throat like it was nothing. I mean, David Montgomery was doing whatever he wanted running the football. So Leonard Fournette, that could be big. And as we know with Tom Brady, he loves the play action. So if you can run the ball early, that'll open it up for these wide receivers who he doesn't have a ton of experience with.
Yeah. And if he can get a stretch fake play action, seam route, touchdown, to a tight end, and that's how you win it. He'll be all for it. The ball will. The one thing I know about both sides, the ball's going to come out quick. Sags, they're going to have to, both quarterbacks, which then they're both used to it. He may have to take some run after the catch, but this could be old school physical run, shorten the game, play some defense, force a couple turnovers, hopefully get Aaron Rodgers off the field, and glad you got out of a Tampa Bay Buccaneers win with a home game with a win. I'm interested to see this one.
Yeah. Any other games stick out to you? I think San Francisco,
not really.
Denver Sunday night, I think could be interesting. Jimmy G's first start of the season versus,
agreed,
you know, Denver that is struggling. And you know, I just want to watch Denver. I want to see how they treat this whole situation, but also Russell Wilson, all these videos of him coming out on the sideline, yelling at his teammates, like, come on guys, yell pass or run. Like, that's high school shit. Like,
yeah, Russell Wilson. Yeah. Feels like it's the, hey batter, swing batter is a little,
yeah,
player on,
like,
the side.
He could rub his teammates the wrong way real quick. And this could go real south in Denver.
And he's not playing well enough right now.
Right.
He's focused on getting his stuff going, because Russell Wilson looks a little bit skittish to me. Sorry.
Yeah.
He just does.
Yeah.
He does not look like the same guy. So we're going to find out if it's Russell Wilson team. Let's go. Now, he's capable of a big game, but the return of the first two games, he's one of the more disappointing guys for the money he's making early in the season, because it doesn't look, and he's not using his feet at all.
Right.
He's not using his feet to extend plays at all, which is a strength. So a couple games that stick out to me, Sakes. I'm actually, as we go on, you know, over the, through the weekend and stuff, and the Monday night game, which we'll get to, well, we're our show's Tuesday. So the Giants and the Cowboys.
Sneaky.
Do you know the Giants? Yeah, it is. It may not be a pretty game, but the Giants could actually be 3-0. I'm curious to see how the Cowboys fare on the road, night, backup quarterback, and, you know, Jerry Jones constantly telling us about Dak, and then Cooper Rush, that. The Lions and Vikings, I'm telling you, this is a dangerous game for the Vikings,
yes,
man. I am just – the Lions run it extremely well. Jared Goff's playing – they got some personnel. I'm just – if you're the Vikings and you think you're going to coast in this one, I'd be careful. Because I'm telling you, I like him. And one other one, Segs, for me is, well, there's really the Eagles and Commanders. Eagles coming off an emotional butt. They kick their butt. But they're going to Washington and Carson Wentz, right? So there's that little sidebar against the Eagles.
Yep.
And then finally, the one is, how good are the Jaguars? Are they good enough to win the division? They're headed out to play the Chargers. And I want to see if they can run with the big boys right now, because they haven't had to deal with the big boys yet. Colts ain't the big boys right now. Chargers are. I want to see how Trevor Lawrence and that group plays against this team.
Yeah, that was the other team or other game I had circled. I want to see how they travel west, you know, still getting their feet under them in this new system and everything. But Trevor's looked good. He's looked poised in the pocket, and he's making the throws we all know he can make. And it's going to be interesting. You mentioned the Vikings cannot have another letdown this week. You can't have two just poor games. And right now, with where things stand, losing to the Vikings or losing to the Lions would be a poor week for the Vikings. I mean, that would be,
hell yes,
you're supposed to be competing for the division title. After you get your ass kicked last week, you can't come back and lose to the Lions. Even though the Lions are getting much better under Dan Campbell, you cannot,
agreed,
come back and lose to them. So,
agreed.
It'll be a fun week. It'll be interesting to recap,
yep,
come Tuesday.
Yep.
And then real quick, looking at the college football schedule, we got some interesting game. Clemson at Wake. I'm still, you know, Clemson's, you know, good. I'm still waiting to see them play a really good team, and I don't know that they will,
right,
this year until later.
Yep. Their defense should be able to, their front should be able to handle,
to handle
game,
Wake. Yeah.
Yep.
Sam Hartman's,
yep,
good. I think he can
really
do
good
some things, but I don't think the big game, Florida at Tennessee. Hendon Hooker's been really good in 2 years. And,
man,
you
alive,
know, everybody talks about Anthony Richardson. Everybody talks about, you know, Will Levis, and rightfully so for Will Levis. He's that good. But nobody talks about Hendon Hooker. And he put up a monster season last year at Tennessee, and he's started,
yep,
off good this year.
Segs, you and I both remember our preseason quarterbacks to watch. He,
uh-huh,
was one of them.
Yes, he was.
Hendon Hooker was one of those guys. Now, here's the ironic thing about this, which this is my favorite game of the weekend. But Segs, I don't know if you saw the spread of this. Do you realize that Tennessee at home, even with Richardson in Florida, They're Tennessee's a 10.5 point favorite.
Are they really?
Ten,
yeah,
and a half point favorite. See, with the points, I'm taking Florida. You give me 10.5 points with that quarter, I think I'm taking Florida. I think Tennessee going to win because they're going to run about 90 plays.
Yeah.
And Hooker right now is playing at a extremely high level. And both you and I said that he would when this season started.
Yeah, I could see how they can put that at, you know, 10-ish points because Florida the past 2 weeks has been.
Yeah, they're looking at the most recent. Yes.
Yeah, as bad of football as they could have, especially after coming off week one where, you know, we saw what they did to Utah. And then
like
they
the first game wore them out. Say. Yeah, like the first game they spent it all in one game, right?
Right, exactly. And it's like they haven't caught up on their sleep or something because Anthony Richardson's been bad. I think he hasn't scored a touchdown. He hasn't thrown a touchdown. Hasn't rushed in for a touchdown. Yeah. And I think he's thrown four picks in those two games.
He went from in vogue guy to come on, dude, you got to pick it up because if he doesn't play well, they'll get boat raced in this game in Knoxville.
Because remember,
I guarantee you,
when we recapped the Florida Utah game, I started out that that podcast saying, you know, let's pick our Heisman, and you like quickly just said Anthony Richardson just because of what he did against Utah.
Right, of course, because that's how people do, right?
That's how people were thinking of him, though. And now, 2 games later, it's like you're talking about him being one of the poorer quarterbacks in the SEC because of how he's played the last 2 weeks. So this one's going to be interesting. I would probably lean taking Florida in the points when you mentioned 10.5 just because of that hook.
That's what I mean. This reeks of a late cover, right?
Yes, exactly.
Throwing it down the field.
Yes. Yeah. Just some more games we got out here. Oregon at Washington State. That's an interesting one this weekend out there in the Pac-12. Arkansas at A&M. Both teams.
You better stop the run.
Yes, exactly.
A&M, you better stop the run. I'm just telling you, you better stop the run.
And that's the big key because KJ Jefferson could throw the ball far, but a lot of times he doesn't know where it's going.
Right. Wisconsin, I think Ohio State's going to – they're big fairs, but Wisconsin – and I look for this to be an over. I think they're going to be a high-scoring affair, Segs up and down. I do.
Yep.
Now, they're going to try to slow it down, Wisconsin, but their quarterback's pretty good. And it's an interesting game, to say the least, right?
Yes.
It's an interesting game. Watchable.
It's got to be Braylon Allen day for Wisconsin. Absolutely. Graham Mertz just makes too many mistakes at the quarterback position.
He plays better when he's got play action.
Exactly.
It's typical Wisconsin quarterback.
Yes, yes.
It is. Run the ball, throw 18 to 20 times, and get out of the building. Be a tough one. And then SC's only 6-point favorites at Oregon State. This team's different, though, Segs.
Yes, it is.
I'm telling you.
I agree.
They're gonna go in there. They'll be focused. I don't think this game's – because Oregon State's 3-0 playing good football. But the athletes are just too much. SC's going to win this by double digits.
I'm laying the points easily in this. Yep. I know something's screaming with just a 6.5, I'm laying those points all day long.
Yep.
And then let's real quick hit on Herm Edwards gets fired at ASU. Comes out today that staffers inside the football building were just leaking information like a sieve about this team in the preseason leading up to because they wanted Herm Edwards out. Some were saying they felt like they had to babysit him because he wouldn't learn the recruiting rules or anything about the college game in terms of the bylaws and all that stuff. I mean, if this is true and it's coming from reputable sources, this is just such a bad look for Arizona State.
I'm going to make this real simple. And that can be a good program. Herm went in there and did his thing. I understand if you're ready to move on from Herm Edwards, who I love as a human being. I think he's been a good coach. But I can tell you this, simple, if true, and you said reliable sources, there's no more cowardice chicken shit way to sell a guy out than this.
Yes.
And I would consider if I was another coach wondering why I'd take that gig until your leadership gets better. And you owed it to the players not to do this either because those kids are fighting their ass off. If you want to escort him out the building, say, listen, you're fired. Okay. It's called being a coach. Not like this. This ain't it, man. Not like this.
And remember, we saw the video of the university president and the athletic director meeting him on the field after the loss last week to Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan. I don't know, one of the Michigans, I think. And it was a bad loss. They've been bad and they just haven't been able to turn it around. So be it. And like you said, if you want to fire him, fire him. Don't meet him on the field. Don't let that all be on camera and then fire him right after the game, after that whole video comes out. And now all this, it's just a bad look for a guy who's done so much for the game of football and so much for your university that it's just, it's a terrible look for the university. They should be ashamed.
Couldn't agree more, man. Yeah. It is shameful and it's disgraceful. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I think that's all I got. I'm trying to think if there was anything else
Yep.
college-wise. Not
Nope.
that I
But
can
next week
think.
kicks in a lot bigger too, next week in
Yes.
college. So I'm fired up. Can't
Yeah,
wait.
I'm ready to go. All right. Once again, thanks to BetOnline for being one of our sponsors here on the
Best.
show. And we'll continue it next week, recapping everything we just talked about. I'm excited. We got some fun games and, just college football Saturday is just always great. I don't care who's playing.
It is, and it'll be. We'll start to see the identity of teams in
Yes.
both league, college and the NFL, and we'll be able to discuss that next week as well. Great
Right, for
stuff today,
sure.
brother.
All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Sean Salisbury Show here on the Believe Network. We will talk to you next week.